And I have a guest with me, as you probably have already noticed. We're here live at the California Theater in Santa Rosa, California. And joining me today, we have. Oh, you're taking a deep breath.
Feeling the nerves.
Okay. Phoebe Hastings. Hello.
Hi.
Phoebe.
Hi, everyone. Hi. Oh, thank you.
So why are you here today? Like, why you, of all people that I know? I know I like to have all different types of performers and talented people on.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you're here.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we're best friends in real life and on Facebook. And you had, like, said this thing that you were like, hey, I can't, like, I'm just really scraping bottom and I, like, really need someone to be on the show. And I was like, I'll do it, you know.
Well, I like scraping bottoms. That's not necessarily, like, a bad thing. You kind of played it off like I was desperate. Like, that's something I do quite often.
So, I know.
Well, yeah.
Well, so anyway, so I showed up at your house that night. You know, it was kind of late.
Again.
But I was like, Oliver.
Yeah, I didn't answer. I knew it was you.
I know. I'm so used to being embarrassed at this point that it was like, I didn't mind. So I just kind of tried again. And I was like, you know, a lot has been happening for me, and I just kind of wanted to be on your show so that everybody could know.
Oh, you have something actually going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this and that and, you know, a couple things.
I mean, you woke up this morning. That's something at least.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You showed up here.
Someone understands. And so, you know, there's just so much going on, and I just wanted to reach out to you and be best friends in person again. Because it's been...
Right. We met a while... When did we... I don't remember what year. If it was like 2016, 17, maybe 18, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. 2018, maybe.
You were working with the Gentlemen Bastards, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. And, well, who are the Gentlemen Bastards? What do they do? What did they do? It's past tense now, right?
The Gentlemen Bastards was an improv group founded by Matlock Zumsteg, and they are kind of the premier improv group in Santa Rosa, or they were.
Right.
And so Matlock also teaches classes at Sixth Street Playhouse, so I was taking his classes, and he had tryouts for their improv group, so I went and tried out.
How did that work? Did they, like, break a pool cue, and you're like, go for it?
Yeah.
Broken bottles, and you just had to...
Yeah, you had to kind of jump someone in. It was like that. But it was fine. You know, I could hang, and I got in the group, you know.
You survived.
Yeah. Things just kind of took off from there. Doing improv shows, doing North Bay Cabaret.
Right, because then suddenly you're going from being in a rehearsal space, a teaching space, to in front of, like, an audience.
Yeah.
That's giving you suggestions and feeding off of that energy.
Totally.
It's very different.
Yeah, and you're getting, like, tomatoes thrown at you and things, you know, it was different.
Right. Fresh?
No.
Rotten, okay. Yeah.
But it was really good, and I learned a lot being in that group and had a lot of fun, and then we started changing it up, and the Gentlemen Bastards mutated into the Natural Disasters, and we brought new people in.
Yeah, there was, I remember, because I was a very, very frequent guest performer of the Gentlemen Bastards. I was on a lot of their shows. I would do stand-up, and they'd pull me into games. And it's funny, because their themes they would wear red and black. They're like, well, you're perfect. You're, you know, we're always going to have you. And I'm like, okay. But then the word bastards, I remember, floated around so much in the sort of social media. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, are we allowed to use, you guys would go on the radio. Like, are we allowed to say the name of the group on the radio right now? It's like, okay, well, this is being a little bit of a hiccup. Maybe pivot away from this name.
Yeah.
And it became Disasters, Natural Disasters. Not controversial at all.
Mm-mm.
No.
But fitting.
Fitting.
Yeah, just for the hot messness that the group brought, you know?
Right. And it evolved away from the red and black to there was a lot of different energy. It was a lot of male energy for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the energy was changing in the group, and it was I think it was good to sort of relaunch and rebrand.
Yeah, kind of balance things out. Do plaid shirts instead of red and black uniforms.
Blue jeans.
Yeah, yeah. And we had a blast. I mean, that was easily, like, one of the best times of my life performing and having a great time in Santa Rosa.
And that's not the only thing you do.
Mm-mm.
You're also wildly annoying on Facebook. You just hounded me.
Yeah.
You hound me over and over.
Well, I just feel like if no one does it, you won't know.
A lot of people are doing it. Like, it's you're not alone in this annoying me on Facebook thing. It's not as if I don't have a couple dozen people daily.
Well, I set the trends in many ways. Annoying ones, pestering people. I think people.
When did that start for you? Do you have siblings? Like, how did you get so good at being annoying?
Youngest of four.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
We've cracked it.
Yeah. So, you know, big, loud family, and I just kind of had to annoy if I wanted to, I don't know, have a slice of that life, you know?
Right.
So I got really good at it.
It's not just a phase. You haven't grown out of it.
No. I would say I'm pretty
Because you're an adult now, correct?
Yeah, 41.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, I wasn't going to ask, but okay.
Well, yeah, 41.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you so much.
Someone wanted to applaud that. That's like the saddest thing. No one.
No, I appreciate it.
No one applauds
and
for
you know
41.
What? In January, I'll be 42.
Okay.
Thank you. Wow.
Well, 42 is a number that people care about. Like that's.
Well, I think 41 is too. I feel the care from the room. So
does that change your bracket when you select on? No, I guess not. It's like 35 to 45 or something. So.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I'm over 100 years old, so like I don't even know what to put it for.
And your birthday's this month. You were hatched a Halloween, right?
I don't have a birthday, you know, like hatched. Like when does it, you know, count when the egg was laid or when the egg was broken or when all these various like point like when you're actually born, born, you know. Yeah. I'm like that one guy in Macbeth. I wasn't actually. Oh, I'm not supposed to say that. Oops. Oh well. I'm a comedian. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
People, yeah. So, youngest of four. Do we need this tight? I'm watching you constantly. Just we can just we're doing this live. Like it's just part of this. We're hearing the applause sometimes. We're hearing the sniffling of the nose in the back. That's fine too.
Oh yeah.
So. Okay, so not just an improv performer,
Mm-mm.
which probably explains some things for some people, but you also play an instrument.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I play the banjo.
Banjo.
Uh-huh. And I love the banjo. I wanted to play the guitar, but, you know, my dad had an old banjo laying around, and I went to his house, and there it was, and he had a little how-to book. And it's a very friendly.
Did you really read a book on how to play band? That's how you learned?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I know you're moving on with the story. I'm like, hold on, that's interesting right there. Because I know some people learn from like other, like teachers, and that you just had a banjo and a book.
Yeah, how to play the banjo. But when I was young, I played instruments when I was young too. So,
you weren't unfamiliar with.
No, okay. I didn't, you know, I knew how to read music and banjo's tablature music, so it's easy. So,
I don't know what that means.
It's just easier music to pick up and read, and it tells you what finger to put where instead.
Like quite
of,
literally, like you just rather than having to know the note. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so very friendly instrument to learn, very easy, and I play that, and I play it with a band, a group of friends now, and we're kind of out in West County, and we play some tunes for people. We have a good time.
Are you playing anywhere? Soon, or do you have like a specific? No,
tomorrow.
That's okay.
Well,
no.
Tomorrow we're playing at a state park in Fort Ross, I think. It's like a barn. Oh, the Russian Fort. That's what it is. The Russian Fort.
This sounds like
Ross.
A banjo gig. All
right?
Of this added
it's
up.
It's like an actual barn, I think. So we're going to play there tomorrow and playing Spankies. You know, we do West County gigs.
And so that's what you've been doing in lieu of comedy. So I remember way back, you did a combination of your banjo playing and improv.
Yeah.
You were like the featured performer for Disasters one night where you came out by yourself and you just did your thing. Mm-hmm. Like, is that something you still do or is that not?
I would, but I don't think our band will let me.
Oh, because you're slotted for the time. They're not going to give you the time to.
Yeah.
You have to slot your own set. In order to.
But I do love it. I love improv. Ever since working with the improv group, I think it's probably forever my favorite genre. So I love I love doing musical improv still, but, you know, playing with a band is, like, such a different thing. But I would still do musical improv.
Well, have you gone to any of the open mics in the area and attempted it? Because I think you're ripe to just jump back into it and do it. They have an open mic here. There's open mics.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't done anything since working with the Disasters until I started doing this stuff with the band. So I need to jump back in and do some more silly songs.
So were they songs you wrote? Because I don't know your history. Was it songs you wrote, pre-wrote, and you came out and did a song? Or was it all riffing and improv?
All riff.
I was all riffing?
Yeah. And the first time I think I decided I'd riff on the chords and the lyrics, and that was like a disaster. So the
Hence
next time.
Hence natural disasters. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It fit. So the next time I came out, I had chord progressions ready. And I just thought, I'll get a fun little suggestion from the audience, put that to the chords, and like see what happens. And sometimes they were funny and cool and actually smart, and sometimes they were just kind of dumb. But it was good, just good to get out there and do it, I think.
So the things you did, they're just kind of lost into performance,
yeah,
people's heads and memories, uh-huh, because it's not something you could bring every single time. It was created that evening in, mm-hmm, front of that audience,
mm-hmm,
never to be seen ever again.
No, uh-uh.
Well, that's an interesting and like cool thing. That's a unique experience then, like what you had. So it's hard to like sell. Like if you started going to open mics and being, oh, this is what I do as my solo act,
mm-hmm,
as I'm a comedic banjo player, then going to shows and like, hey, book me.
Mm-hmm.
I do this, you know, amorphous kind of comedic performance piece.
Mm.
They'd probably sit and stare at you like, okay,
mm-hmm,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking there probably is a struggle there.
Yeah. I wouldn't know because I haven't really put forth the effort to try.
Right.
But
it's probably not worth the effort to try, like usually with most things.
Right? It's just kind of better to stay in bed, I think.
Yeah. If you stay in bed, no one can ever judge you for the bad musical comedy you did.
No, or hurt your feelings in any way.
Right? As long as you stay off Facebook.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah? Which you do too much. You're on there a lot.
I am on there all the time.
Do you live there? Like, is that?
Yeah. Me and Zuckerberg are like, I was the one who got him to start doing that curls and like the cool guy chain he's wearing now, you know?
I believe it. I bet you're in they're making another movie about him. I bet you're in it.
Totally.
Playing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the banjo.
No, just
It's me. You holding another you.
Right. There's a couple like real close-ups, like just getting kind of inappropriately close. But, you know, that's what the people want. So.
Well, you did a short film, didn't you?
Yeah.
Speaking of close-ups.
Yeah, I did one of the film sprints.
Film sprints?
Yeah, I think that's what they're called.
Okay, oh, I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Matlock and Dana were there. Yeah.
From your previous
improv group, yeah.
Improv group, yeah.
Yeah, Dana Wright and Matlock Zumsteg. I did a film sprint with them and a crew. That was fun. That was interesting.
So you've done acting then,
mm-hmm, like
it wasn't improv, it wasn't necessarily, I don't know, was it comedic?
No.
Or was it more straight drama?
It was very like
very serious,
intense. Yeah.
Brilliant.
They wanted to do like a suicide and I was like, let's make her live, you know. Yeah.
Ooh.
You know, she did live in the end, so that was good. But you know, I was submerged in a bathtub and there was a lot of flashbacks, like it was serious, you know.
They put you in a bathtub. This sounds, yeah, like exploitive, like, and then we're gonna put you in a bathtub.
Yeah, well, they were in there too, so we,
okay,
all got in the bath,
right,
and it was like rubber ducks. I mean, it didn't feel dirty.
They released this, right? Like, they weren't just like, there was film in the camera, right?
Yeah.
Or a memory card.
Yeah, no, I didn't fall for that one again.
Okay.
There was film in the camera.
Yeah, okay.
And yeah, I mean, we just had a good time. I'm pretty sure we won an Oscar for that film, so.
Like, yeah, an Oscar, not an Academy Award. They just gave you Oscar the Grouch to take home.
No, we won the Golden Oscar.
The Golden Oscar.
And then also there was like a Academy Award that I'm pretty sure we won too, and an Emmy and like a Lululemon Award. It was a new award, but we won it.
And okay, yeah.
It was great. I mean, and everybody was just like, Phoebe, you're so funny. Like, even when you're in a suicide scene. And I was like, you guys, stop it. But nobody did. And it turned out okay, you know?
Do you think suicide's funny? Like, is that a thing that you...
Suicide? No.
Okay.
No. I don't think that's funny. You know.
But at that time, it was for Dana and Matlock for these improv. That's the thing about people don't know about comedians is anything that's like off limits on stage, it's so 100% on limits in front of other comedic performers.
Yeah, we poked it a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember we were going on the radio one time, and we were, I believe it was with Matlock. It was the three of us, and Matlock's like, we gotta like warm up a little bit, like break the ice, you know, break the nerves. Mm-hmm. And we were doing that game. Like a little improv game, like the alphabet game. Like, oh, we're starting with the letter L. Like, and it's like, let's go, make way. Like, as in you have to start M, N, O. Mm-hmm. And we circle around to the letter C. And do you remember what you said?
No.
As we're about to get on the radio and we're warming up, you dropped a see you next Tuesday in the lobby of that radio station. I am not, do you remember this?
No.
I stopped the scene. I was like, hold on. You cannot talk like that with what we're about to do. Uh-huh. And I think you were just in the moment, but a little too in the moment. Well, I was like, you're about to go and talk to all of Sonoma County.
I know, but sometimes you need a little C word in there, you know? You just need a little, you know, you just get it. Come on, Sonoma County.
I was glad you said it in the lobby and not on a hot mic.
Well, I think Steve Jackson would have understood, you know?
That's who it was, yeah.
I think he would have liked it, probably.
I think he would have loved to have dead air for as they have to hit that the delay button.
Yeah, and I'm...
And just their advertisers scramble and pull their hair out.
Yeah.
What just happened?
Yeah, and then they're going to have to edit it, and I can't be on the radio anymore again, and it's like, oh, this, you know?
You can say it here on the podcast. I'm not going to say it, but, you know...
I can say it on this podcast?
Yeah, I can. I'll edit it. Yeah. Oh, you can say anything you want. Did I not go over that with you? That
well, there's so many nice people in here. I don't want to.
Are they nice people?
They look nice. I don't want to curse. There's even a sweet little dog in here.
I mean, I would curse in front of you. I know you're not nice, but
yeah. Well, that's old news. You know.
Yeah.
People know I'm, you know, a hellion, but a sweet one, I think.
I'm surprised you don't. That's one of my most vivid memories. I tell a lot of people that story where it's like,
thank you.
Of the wrong thing to do to prepare to go on the radio.
Well, I think, though, that it really brought the energy up, you know, and it's, yeah, it's true. I don't remember, but like, I, you know, I remember you and Matlock's faces both just like.
Because I think it just came out of you so fast.
Well, it's natural.
I think it was like a drunken fart. You just.
Well, those are natural, too.
Natural and disasters.
Yeah.
Phoebe.
It's good to be here.
Is it?
Yeah. I've never been in the California theater.
You've never been to this theater before? You've never come to any of my shows here?
No.
What such good friends we are.
Well, on Facebook. So.
Are you coming? Like, it's the awkwardness of recording this. Are you coming to my show later tonight? Because I'm recording this on a Friday. And Forbidden Kiss is later tonight, which I'm on that show.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if that's accurate.
No, they booked me. So, yeah, you can ask the booker.
I'm not going to ask the booker because I know they didn't book you. I don't need to ask someone an answer. I already know the answer. You know, like,
well,
you're not on the show.
I mean.
Did someone tell you were on the show? Or was this like a mirror thing that Phoebe was talking to?
No, the booker agent, they called me.
Right.
And they were like, hey, you. And I was like, hey. and they were like, look, you know, we want you on the show. And I said, well, I'm going to be on Oliver's show anyways. And if, you know, you don't mind that I take a little nap, you know, under the bar for 3-4 hours and then crash on your couch for a month, I'll be in the show. And so.
But did they ask you something specific to do? Or is it just, I'm going to be on the show that you're not
so
on?
Detailed.
You're not on the show.
Fine. All right.
This is going to be past tense for some people. You will have not been on the show.
All right, technically it was like they wanted me to clean up after the show. But to me, it's like if I'm near the stage, I'm going to give them the old razzle-dazzle. A little.
You don't know what anyone does anywhere, do you? Like, that is not how people perform anymore. Oh,
well,
my. It is not 1938.
I think it could be, though.
There's no limelight anymore.
A little like that, just a little.
You're doing all the stuff that, like, I have to now describe to people that only listen to this podcast that I can only say is just wildly inaccurate of how people perform.
I think people are tickled by it. I think I'll get them a little.
I think if you're literally tickling people, that then that's tickling them, but that's like cheating. You're supposed to emotionally tickle them.
Well, I like to just go up and give them a quick jab in the funny bone, you know, and oh, just see, like, that is my way to tickle people.
Right, you like to physically assault people. Yeah. That's
nothing gets a reaction.
Why you're just not
like
booked
getting
on
in people's space,
any of
you know?
These shows.
And then giving them one of those sweet smiles, never getting in any trouble.
Mm. Oh, one of like the copper tone billboard
exactly.
smiles.
Yeah. You know,
with a dog that's assaulting a woman.
Well, a puppy.
I guess I shouldn't be so hard on the dog for being underage and not understanding what assault is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
We've come a long way, so, you know.
No, but I am on a variety show called Forbidden Kiss that I'm sure you know everything about. It's just redundant for you to hear about this information since apparently you're on the show with me.
Yeah, in the show, pretty much a star. A star with a mop. That's what the booker told me.
And not a Muppet mop, like an actual mop, like a bucket.
Like a
pop.
Push, like kind of yeah. a push mop.
Mm-hmm.
And she showed me how to mix the suds in the bucket, so I'll be ready. I mean, I do a really nice job. I really clean up. I'm going to make this place sparkle.
Sure.
And I just feel like...
Sure, everyone believes you.
Yeah. So, yes, I'm in the show, to answer your question. And that's how I get into a lot of shows, is, you know... doing side work like that and then kind of just sneaking on or, I don't know, in other ways, like having tantrums and like making the booker feel kind of uncomfortable and then feeling like they have to or I might just do something. I remember
you did that to Tim Burton when you were trying to be Catwoman.
Exactly.
You had him locked in a closet and you're like, I need this role.
I mean, what
and they went
do?
With Michelle Pfeiffer instead of you.
Yeah, they... That was just a really, like, they were like, we want an older woman for this thing. And I was like, well, you know, are you sure? Because, come on. I mean, it's Catwoman. You need some, like, vitality, some young.
I think you're more cat-like than Michelle Pfeiffer is.
Thank you. That's yeah. what I told him when I had yeah. him walked in the room. But ultimately, Michelle Pfeiffer is so talented that I had to unlock him and kind of just accept it and go back to my day job, which is being a gardener, which has worked out.
Which is still kind of cat-like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find a lot of cat turds as a gardener? Did you used to do vegetation, things that, like, were edible? Roses aren't edible. Are they? You would know.
Well, for deer, they are. I don't eat them anymore because it was just, like, one thorn too many, you know? I still have one kind of, like, lodged in my gum back here, and it really, like, if you can see it on the camera, it kind of, like, right back there.
Okay.
If you see it, I can start drooling sometimes.
No, that's fine.
So,
but you have a problem with deer coming and eating your rose bushes.
Yeah, that's they do. They like to.
What do you so with crows? Like mm-hmm. everyone knows, mm-hmm. like the cornfield and stuff, they mm-hmm. have a scarecrow. Do you have a scare deer? Is that something you could install?
No. There's little sprays you can use or lights or like lit things that go.
What does the spray do? Does it like shrink the deer it does with snails? Or
if they walk by, it might like spray out water on them and they don't like.
They don't like water?
No, they don't like.
Why
bathing.
Don't? What? Why? Wait, wait. Why would deer be afraid of like? They don't they drink water? Like,
they drink it, but they don't want to bathe in it. They like to lick themselves.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Wonder what that. Have you ever licked a deer?
I haven't, but supposedly if a baby deer gets away from her or his mom, and there's no mom to lick it, they'll get covered with maggots.
Okay.
That's just my friend, what they told me. They adopted a baby deer from the wild. And
that's
in the
what
house.
Happened?
That's what happened. And yeah. they had to call animal control, and they got, like, animal control's real mad at them. The deer was just covered in maggots.
Was
and
it dead?
I didn't lick it off at that point. Like, I'm not.
Was it a living deer?
Yeah, it was a baby deer. And she.
But, well, okay, a baby deer can be dead or alive.
No, it was like, alive. It was totally alive. It was okay. a living baby deer.
Right.
And a couple days without its mom, and it was just, like, maggots. So that's how they clean. They don't like water baths.
I don't have a good segue to get into the final part of this. So I get into the podcasty questions. This is where you might panic mm-hmm. during the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite dinosaur?
Petrie.
Petrie from I think this is the second Land Before Time reference I've had.
Yeah.
A lot of people go
I just
to.
Love that little Petrie.
Petrie,
God, he was
yeah.
cute.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I have options in case. Favorite Pokemon, or we can just go with favorite monster, because they are pocket monsters. You can go with a regular monster.
I'm unfamiliar with the Pokemon.
So you can go with a regular monster.
Well, you.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm your favorite monster.
Of course.
Okay.
You kind of remind me of the little yellow Pokemon. What's his name? Pikachu?
I am, wow, that's maybe the most offensive thing I've had said about me.
Well,
like ever. Well, the yellow, the little electric.
Yeah, that little guy. He's
Pikachu.
So cute. Mm-hmm.
That's so not, oh.
Well, I like them because.
Why did I have you on this?
They're inclusive.
Podcast?
That's what I like about the Pokemons. You got to catch them all. I like that.
There's Cubone, there's Ghastly, there's so many.
Charizard.
Sure, but you're likening me to like Frankenstein or Dracula if I'm your favorite monster.
Yeah, well, more like a werewolf, I think. Is
werewolf?
Really,
you think
yeah.
I'm like a werewolf?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Like a black-haired werewolf.
Sure.
Very elegant.
Okay. Do I lick myself like a deer, or am I a bath-taking werewolf?
Well, I think you like to use the lotion, like Alfaba. Nobody here has seen that?
No one's a lotion user, yeah. Okay, if you could have one superpower, what would you have as a superpower?
Okay. I have thought about this so many nights. Hands down, just the ability to like be underwater, able to see, move efficiently.
Can you not do that now?
No.
You're not able to be underwater now?
No. The last time I tried it was like a disaster. Don't do it. Just try to live underwater.
Wait,
if you don't
so
want.
You're not even looking for like super ability underwater. You're just looking for the basic capability of being underwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, imagine like the creatures you could meet and the treasures. You
I mean,
could
people
find.
Scuba. People do this. Like this isn't.
Okay,
this
dream
isn't like
killer.
Outside okay. of like human reach.
You really just you put a spin on that I've never thought about before. I guess people do this, but you have
you have to be
really like, rich. You can't just like walk into the
so
ocean.
you want the power to have the money to go scuba diving.
No, I just want to be able to like walk into the ocean.
Well, you could do that.
But
we could
live.
We could be after this we could drive out to the ocean.
No, but I want to live.
Well, you want to live.
I want to go underneath the ocean and see all the fish, see if the octopus are really as smart as I think they are, bond with one perhaps. Hold it to my heart like that man did in the movie. Cuddle.
Was it 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
No, I think you know that's not what the movie was.
That sounds like
no,
the movie.
No, it was a documentary, and I want to hold it.
I think that was a documentary.
And then I
want to
gather
true
all
story.
The treasures. No, this was a true story documentary called The Octopus Teacher, I believe it was, and the octopus.
Well, that sounds like a made up.
Well, it was really cute, and the man knew an octopus, and it recognized him, and it would go over to him and cuddle, and it was so cute. So I'd want to do that and then collect treasure. And just take over.
Well,
the world.
Well, we're getting greedy here now. We're not only are we hanging out under the ocean, you're getting paid while under the ocean.
Yeah.
This was one superpower, not one like fantasy wet dream that you're just really.
Well, that's
exploring.
What I would use it for. Is okay. Treasure
okay.
and octopus.
Well, I have other questions to get to you.
Okay.
If you could, I mean, maybe we'll go right back to where we were. If you were a wizard and you can control one element, what element? Would you control, and we can go further off with like fire, earth. We can get further if you wanted to control like shadows or.
Ooh. I would do the earth.
You'd be earth, mm-hmm. like rock, ground.
Yeah.
Move the sands.
Yeah, open up big pits, swallow people.
Yeah, I'm sure you like swallowing. Okay, so your next would be if you had a villain lair.
Ooh.
If you had a villain lair, where would it be? What kind of villain lair would you have?
Oh, God. I would put it in that one candy store in the mall.
Okay. That would be your villain lair.
Yeah. And
would it be obvious it's a villain lair, or would it look like identical to a candy store?
I think I wouldn't change anything about it. I would just start doing like a lot of evil stuff out of it. But I would be dressed in like kind of candy cane cuteness and like knee-high socks with some fuzzy boots and like a princess bubblegum hat and a shift dress with like candy cane colors on it. So it'd be, I think we would really scare people.
I feel like you thought about this question way more than I thought you were going to like.
I mean, I've
you
had
were
my
super
eye.
Prepared.
Yeah, I've had my eye on that store in the mall for a while.
Okay.
It's right by the massage chairs too, so. You know, take a little break, get a little neck thing.
Do some candy drugs.
Yeah, exactly. And you can come if you want.
Oh, I'm good, Phoebe. I don't know that I'm going to see you again for another, like, 10 years. I think this was exactly what I thought it was going to be, having you on here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad everyone feels enlightened.
Yeah. But you're gonna hang out, because I have another guest to bring out.
Right.
And you're going to stay and behave yourself. Mm. Oh, you're not. I can already tell. I can already tell you're going to just...
I'll try.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine, Phoebe. That's why you're here.
We are indoors, so I think I'll be good.
Right. Yeah, you are house trained. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Phoebe. Thank you and hang out. Yes.
It's a joy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
And with that, we have to move along to our next guest. So please, ladies and gentlemen, give a round of applause to Blue. Give a big round of applause. Welcome
Hello.
To Panic a Chat, Blue.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. And I don't know much about you, which is going to be interesting, doing notes and things. But I know so much about Phoebe that I did want to ask Phoebe any of those things anyway. So it makes it just pretty equal with having next to no questions prepared. But you are... Tell people what you do. What are you?
Yeah, so I... my day job, the boring part... is I'm the Associate Artistic Director and Education Director at Sixth Street Playhouse. Yeah, thank you.
Well, yeah, local people, they've heard of Sixth Street, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm a busybody and the ADHD has taken over,
sure.
So I do all the other things too. So in the area, I direct, I choreograph, I perform, I do wigs and makeup. I'm a drag artist in the area, go by the name Oedipus. You may see me... thank you. See, people get it. Thank you. I tried to explain that to some friends of mine, and they were very confused. And I also, I hang out. Sometimes I hang out at the California. It's a good place
sure.
to be. And I'm in a play at Left Edge Theater here, housed at the California, called Booty Candy.
Booty Candy, yes.
Yeah.
So you want to tell some people about Booty Candy.
Sure.
That is the one thing I did research on, was I looked up Robert O'Hara,
uh-huh.
who, so I'm sure I have listeners that are like TV movie people,
uh-huh.
so nothing of his has been adapted yet, but people are interested, they're like very notable people are
yeah.
interested, Martin Scorsese, Spike Lee, so it's like maybe one day we'll see something get adapted if you're just a TV movie person, but in the
yeah.
world of theater, very notable writer, director, Robert O'Hara too, so and that's Booty Candy is a Robert O'Hara piece.
It is.
And you're in it.
I'm in it. I yeah. play actor number 4. There are only 5 actors in
five
the
actors,
in,
okay.
I barely made it. But it is sort of a narrative on it's somewhat autobiographical about Robert O'Hara's life, being a black gay man in America growing up and stuff. And the play is as ridiculous as the name sounds. So you think Booty Candy, you think it's going to be a little weird, it's even weirder than you think. And I think everybody should see it. I did a scene from it for my senior showcase in school, and I played Big Shirley. Uh-huh. And
so you were familiar with this work prior to being in it for this? It's in November at the California Theater,
yes.
correct? So you weren't like, hey, I've never heard of this, or I didn't, you know, you were well already like, hey, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And... having done just a chunk of it before, I was like, we really need to do the whole thing. There are scenes in there that will blow your mind. Even just reading them, we were like, are we okay? Is this all right? Is this allowed? And it is, and we're doing it. So our lovely director, Serena, is in the house. And she, as Left Edge in general, is usually the theater to take risks and do the edgy stuff. It's in the name. They kind of have to. But also, especially, this is edgy, but it's also really important right now. And we're having a really fun time working on the material. we are putting my drag experience to work. I cannot say in what capacity, or else I'd probably get fired. But
it's but there's come see the play so we understand what you're talking about is what you're you know yeah
yeah I'm I play a man, I play a woman, I play things in between, I play sometimes I play a concept or a thought.
Sure.
Not an actual physical person.
Oh, that sounds fun. That's great.
Yeah, it gets weird.
I tried acting. I don't like being. I like being something that's not a human. Like anything that's not an actual person is so much easier for me to be in acting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the kind of drag that I do is usually the weird, crazy. Even here, I was a regular performer at Forbidden Kiss for a long time. And even we have to say, hey, Blue, maybe we don't do that number today. Maybe we save that one for another day, like never. But I always like to be a little bit subversive, a little bit irreverent. And this play really, we're allowed to take it there. Yeah. Sweet Hellion, as I've just heard. Yeah, I'm a fellow.
I'm gonna have to come see this play.
Absolutely.
So is it been, you're in rehearsal right now with the other cast?
We're in rehearsal and getting things going. It's to the point where we could probably put it on stage right now and it totally makes sense. But that's just the quality of performers that have been selected.
Is everyone, so you were familiar with the work. Were other people that are in the production familiar, or is they had to get familiar with it?
I think I was the only one familiar with it. Going into it, and so now they know how much of a disaster I am
right.
in real life. But we all have pulled together, and they're very supportive, and they're also like freaks of nature. So we're having a really, really fun time.
That's a lot of theater people, is what it is. Yeah, it's very interesting people. So what's it been like? You've been Sonoma County, Sixth Street, you're Left Edge, California.
Yeah.
How long have you been in the area doing things? Do you have other productions and plays from years past that?
So I like I mentioned that ADHD is rampant. It's so I think since I moved to the North Bay area in 2019. Barely slipped in before things went awry.
Before we weren't letting people in anymore for a while.
Yeah, it was like, this is great. I love living here. Oh, I'm in my apartment for just 24
hours. It doesn't matter where you live when you're just sitting inside. Yeah,
like this is great. I'm glad I drove cross country. I think since I've moved here, I've done close to 50 productions in the past 5.5 years.
What counts as a...
Oh. I mean,
because if it's a single one show, like, does this count?
No.
Okay.
Like full productions with costumes and sets. I usually am performing in one show while I'm rehearsing for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I have to have real good health insurance because my bones they're getting old. Actually, I met Serena doing a musical called Ain't Misbehavin'. It's not super well known, but it's the music of Fats Waller, old jazz pianist. And we had a blast doing that show. I have a habit of being the last person cast in things. And so I've built a kind of a career being a chameleon. All stems from, while you guys were talking in the first segment, I'm like, I need to be up there. Because I was actually the... captain of the improv team in high school, my freshman year. I had a lot of friends. From there, I think I learned how to be adaptable in those kind of situations. So I started working in the county doing theater because people had holes in their shows they needed someone to fill in. So the very first show I did in the county was a Charlie Brown Christmas at Napa Valley College. Mm-hmm. I was the last person cast. They're like, we need someone who can say things. And I said, I'll try. From there, Ain't Misbehavin'. I mean, I've worked at Sonoma Arts Live. I've worked at Left Edge. Now I work at Sixth Street full time. I just came off of doing a chorus line with them a few weeks ago.
What were you doing in a chorus line? Were you part of? Were you in the cast?
Yeah, yeah. I played Paul.
Oh, okay.
Has anybody here ever seen a chorus line? The movie, or
that one's a pretty famous. That one's a notable one.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people actually know the play.
I don't know it start to finish. Like, right. I'm just very familiar with pieces and parts of it.
It's a
meta thing where there's actors in it playing actor, you know, they're auditioning for a play in a play, you know, so
right.
Yeah.
Play within a play.
Yeah.
And I played Paul in this production, who gets to have a big old juicy monologue about trauma, and it's lovely. I am a trained dancer, and I don't usually get to flex that muscle because I'm old and crotchety, and I don't want to lift my leg past there. So they dug me up, and they said, "We really need you to do this." And I said, "Okay." And it really was an amazing experience. I've been obsessed with that musical since I was a kid, you know, growing up dancing around. And I think it was the perfect segue into Booty Candy because, I mean, well, hear me out. Because the chorus line, of course, everyone knows it. It's big fanfare. But people come to the show and they're like, "Oh, that song's in there. Oh, that song's in there." And so we had a lot of people like bring in their 8-year-olds and their 10-year-olds. And I'm like, can I say bad words? Is that okay?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
Okay, so at the top of Act 2, there's a song called Dance 10 Looks 3, where it's just, she's just saying tits and ass over and over again, yeah. Right? And like literally spanking herself, and it's getting crazy. And I'm like seeing the little child with their popcorn like, they've never seen that before. So now, doing Booty Candy, people are going to come to the show, and you expect for it to be ridiculous, because it's Booty Candy. And I think... people will find the heart and the value within the show, whereas A Chorus Line, it was kind of the opposite. They're like, "Oh, that's a great song, The Golden White. We love that." And then it's like, "Yeah, I talk about getting touched in a movie theater. This is going to be a fun night."
Yeah, people, I think, forget the content of some of these plays. Like, Grease is one that people will... There's a few songs that people love. They love Olivia Newton-John. It's like, but this is about high schoolers being pretty dirty, filthy people. You know, they're high schoolers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're hung out with, like, a, you know, people that age, they're so nasty and horny and
yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And
it's, that's all in Grease. Like, that all that humor is there. And it's like, oh, right, I forgot in this play.
And there's no... they don't learn any lessons in Greece.
Oh, not at all.
Not
no.
at all. They turn the good girl bad, and then you're like, "Well, yeah, we're done now." Yep. It's crazy, but everyone loves it, you know, because we all have been those teens. Again, and we all experience what it's like being in an awkward situation, like being in an audition, and guaranteed, in Booty Candy, you will find yourself in there somewhere, probably in more places than you'd like to admit.
Hear the laughs off stage over there.
Right. Because they know. I will be reprising my role as Big Shirley and then taking on some other interesting characters as well. The show is structured just like scenes.
Sure.
I know that's how plays go. I know. Just give me a second. They're just vignettes that are related, but it's not like a chronological
story.
It's
almost more anthology.
Exactly. So you see some characters come back, you see how they develop, but mostly it's a narrative on the human experience through the film of a gay black man who wrote it. But that doesn't mean that people who are not gay black men can't relate to the story, you know?
Yeah.
And also, well, I can't say too much, but...
You don't want to just give the whole play away right here, right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I have the script. I'll just pass it around to everybody.
Yeah, the dozens of people listening would, you know, be like, "Hey, wait a minute."
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, it's a thing where I hope locally people check it out. But it's like everything you talk about. Like, if someone's not local, doesn't have the opportunity to come to Santa Rosa and check it out, yeah. I hope people still look up and find out more because of everything you're saying, you know.
Yeah, and Robert O'Hara has really great, poignant work. That aside from Booty Candy is one of my favorites. If you come to see the show, which I hope you do, you'll understand why. But I actually got first introduced to his work through Slave Play, which I think is his most famous work. And that one, I couldn't blink for a while. I had to sit with that one for a little bit. And
is it heavy stuff?
Yeah, and you get shocked right at the top of the show. Do you guys want to know what happened?
I'm unfamiliar.
Okay. Oh, never mind. I won't say anything. But But yeah, no, it'll be fine. It won't. There's a whole another hour and 45 minutes. You won't even notice. But for that show, the top of the show, it's this huge antebellum house, and they're all in these Victorian outfits. And in these rooms, these people are having sexual encounters and of various combinations, right? There's a black woman and a white man. There's a mixed race woman and a black woman. There's all different kinds of combinations. And slowly you realize the combinations of people that are being put in these situations might not be having the best time, right? Come to find out, it is modern times. It's not actually back then in those olden times, but they're role-playing in these sexual situations as if they're in these olden times.
Whoa.
Terrifying, right? Whoa. So it's them grappling with, we're trying to spice this up, but you're calling me names that I should never be called. And is that something you want to do?
Oh, it turns into like a Quentin Tarantino movie or something.
Yeah, it gets real. Yeah, he starts licking feet. It gets weird, okay. You know? Quentin, and I don't need to explain that. but yeah, and so from that, I was like, I have to look up more things this man has written. And then they selected Booty Candy for my senior showcase, and I was like, what are the odds? Yeah. And also, I'm playing Big Shirley. That's great. It's so much fun. And it was a daunting task, but it changed my life. And that's, I'm glad that we're getting to put it on its feet here.
Cool.
Yeah,
you get to take it with you still. That's the thing about acting is sometimes you don't leave a play. You might leave a role because then you do a different role from that play, but you get to bring that with you along your experience to other things.
Yeah, and that has been my year so far. I did 6 Degrees of Separation in February, a transcendent experience, and then A Chorus Line, which I always wanted to do, and then now Booty Candy.
Is there something that you're hoping in the future, in the next year or two? Is there a piece or role you've always wanted to? Oh, okay. Oh.
Something is happening. I can't say too. This one, I actually might lose my actual day job, and I cannot do that. So
can we tiptoe around that a little bit?
We can. So there's a very famous play that is expected to be produced at Sixth Street Playhouse. And it's usually, like, it's a traditionally, you know, an all-American play, but this iteration of it will be an all-black cast.
Oh, yes.
It is going to be bonkers. I think, is the most quintessential play about the human condition. And people who really know plays, how can I give away things without giving too much away? I think maybe one of the most famous female actors of ever played this role and is kind of one of the major things she's known for. And the person that is slated to take over this role, I think will even transcend that. I have full faith that is going to happen. So check it out. We're announcing our season very soon, so.
Right. Some people don't know these because I remember this happened when I was in high school. I wasn't in it, but they did Cinderella, mm-hmm. and they got the actual rights. And there's all these things involved when you're actually paying for even for a high school production. Like they come with stipulations and things. So like announcements, all this stuff. It's very very specific. And like I understand that you can't. Like some people are like, oh, why can't you just say like because they get some of them get really weird. Some are even more. Like when we started looking up, like when I was like, what could we do after you did Cinderella? I was like, we're like, oh my God, it's some of them are worse. They're so much worse than was it like Rogers and Hammond stuff, whatever their stipulations were. It's like these ones are like, oh, they want like money. They want from a high school production. I was like, okay. And you're talking not even, this isn't a high school production. This is a, you know, a theater production. So it's like, sometimes you can't say anything until you're allowed to say something.
Yeah.
So you have to not. You know, spoil it.
And that's my day job mostly,
right.
Doing that contracting and all that kind of stuff. So aside from licensing and all that things, I don't have very many fears in life, but I'm scared of those folks.
Yeah.
Especially like Disney, I'm not, you can have it. I'm not taking it. That's enough. They're scary. They'll send people out to your theater and shut you down. which is really crazy.
Whoa.
So that's all I have to say about that production. Thank you.
Well, this now that we've mentioned Disney, this podcast is canceled. Like, we're no longer. They've come after me for all of the money and all the proceeds.
Right.
Happens that fast.
Oh yeah.
Phoebe, you hanging in there? Okay, you hanging? You're
I'm awake.
I'm just making sure.
Loving it.
Oh, you play the banjo.
Yes.
Okay. I'm from Texas,
so nice.
Of course, banjos everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know Steve Martin? Not that Steve Martin.
There's She's gonna be like, personally, I know him. We hang out all the time.
Well, like actual Steve Martin, not actual. There are plenty of Steve Martins, but the famous Steve Martin plays a banjo.
Uh-huh.
But there's also another guy named Steve Martin who like tours around playing the banjo.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you know him.
I have not heard of him.
Well, you got to check him out.
I definitely will.
Yeah, he's great. He plays the banjo.
How funny. I'm going to have to find him.
I played with him, and it was the first time I ever played with a banjo player, and I felt right at home. I felt like I was on my back porch with my grandma.
Beautiful.
It was awesome.
What instrument do you play?
I play the drums.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We should play together.
We should.
I would love to play with
the
drum player.
Don't encourage her.
Form bonds and
Phoebe
relationships.
Doesn't need more. No.
Oh, it's okay. Well, improv and play.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't do anything with her. She's just
going to,
she's okay. So much trouble.
Well,
she's, well what?
Sweet
well,
Hellions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know that just if there's ever something spilled or broken or on fire, you were 100% responsible, and you will make more of those things happen if one of them happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You agree. Yeah, you agree. You immediately agree. Well.
I'm not, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty self-aware.
No, you can do something with it at your own risk, letting you know.
I mean, who knows if I'll survive that long? We'll see.
Yeah.
I'm also trouble, so I may.
See, we should get team up.
Right.
This would be
sweet
very good
Hellions.
Company,
I'm trying to push a thing here.
Little band name.
Yeah.
This is where historians are going to look back. Like they're going to. It's all started here before just the downfall of the solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we're going to dismantle everything that's ever been built.
Mercury and Venus are going to collide into each other.
Oh, yeah, when banjos and drum get together, it's like, big bang, you know? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, we got to move on to the podcasty questions I have for you, Blue. You got a little bit of a head start because you got to hear them beforehand. Same questions, same rundown.
Okay.
What is your favorite dinosaur? If you have a favorite, or you can go with an extinct animal. If there's an extinct animal you really appreciate that's no longer with us.
My favorite dinosaur is my grandmother, but you know,
I
love me a Stegosaurus.
Oh, I love that. Great.
You know, spiky, but still a little cuddly.
Totally.
That's a good answer. Do you have a favorite Pokemon, or you can go, it doesn't have to be a Pokemon, it's a monster.
Hands down, Jinx.
Jinx. Okay.
Hands down. I am Jinx.
Psychic ice type, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm cold and I see things.
Yeah. And do you put people to sleep with your lovely kiss? Or is that... That's a Jinx lore thing.
Yeah, but there's usually like a pill involved. Anyway, sorry.
All right, if you could have one superpower, what superpower would you have? We can go all kinds of places with this.
Oh, well, see, this is a possibility. Teleportation. I started working on teleportation with a teacher of mine in college. It's possible.
Was it Jeff Goldblum?
How did you know?
Oh.
Because he's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right, and that pesky fly.
every time.
Every time. Keep telling him. You can do it, but you'll be a pile of mush on the other end. And some people like that, so, you know, never know.
So you would want to be able to, like, teleport, though?
Yeah.
Like, that's just, like...
Yeah, traveling is too much. I just want to get there.
Just boom.
Right?
Oh, just crossing the street today. Ugh. I'm waiting, and I'm like, wouldn't it be great if I could just, bloof, like, not have to cross the street? I'm like, that's how, like, I wouldn't be used. People could probably go to, like, Europe with I'm like, I just want to cross the street right now.
I'd
take that though if it was only like you know the 35 feet or whatever you know.
Sure, give me a distance. I just to not have to get out of bed to go to the bathroom.
Priceless.
Easy, just boom, in there.
On the
boom.
Pot.
Well, Phoebe exactly. doesn't get out of bed to go to the bathroom, no. so I mean, you can just do it her way.
But I have my own kind
of
situation.
Well, you sleep on a pile of hay, so.
Yeah, we'll get you the Depend sponsorship.
Thank
I got
you. The new diapers are looking more sleek than ever, I'll say that.
Diapers, to not, well, we won't get into it. I'm going to expose myself.
All right, if you were a wizard, what element would you want to control magically, like wind, water?
Okay, so I'm a huge Avatar The Last Airbender fan.
So sure, okay. Not like the movie, that. The cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Not James Cameron's.
Kill it with fire.
Yeah.
But I would love to be to have the control over water.
I knew it.
You could feel that, right?
Like
yeah. Because I would love to bloodbend.
I see.
I'm weird. Yeah.
Because it's a liquid and then.
Yeah. To me, just be like, get out of my way. Oh, that's awesome.
Because people are mostly water. So if you had power over water, right. you'd have power over. Yeah.
Then I would never bloat ever again.
It's like Magneto and Wolverine, except it's you and all humans, like everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And then if you were a villain, where would your lair be?
In a theater.
In a theater?
Come on. I am the Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh, there we go. Ooh, would you have a subterranean basement as well with
some kind of, you know, catacombs or something. Mm-hmm. It has to be something.
Would it have a horse in it for some reason?
Of course.
Is that the Gerard Butler one?
Someone speaking of that, this is random, but a couple weeks ago someone tried to sell me a horse.
Yeah.
A miniature horse. I was sad I couldn't take it.
Mm. How miniature of a horse?
You know, miniature horses are huge. They are not small, but they're smaller than a horse, but bigger than a pony.
Right.
So you can technically ride them, but they don't like it very much. So I couldn't take the miniature horse. Wish I could. Maybe if I had catacombs to put it in.
Right, yeah. That's their natural habitat.
Yeah,
exactly. They don't need sunlight or
Phoebe knows
water.
All about incorrect living spaces.
Absolutely, and keeping animals in inappropriate, you know, areas.
Yeah, me here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you have? I mean, it's up to you. We could once again promote Booty Can. Do you have like social media? Do you want people to find you anywhere, or come here? Is that the answer?
Come here.
Is there a premiere date? Opening weekend date. November somewhere.
November.
We could dub it. We could just cover
November 14th.
November 14th.
Right here.
Right here, November 14th. And then it runs a few weekends.
It runs through the end of right before it closes right before Thanksgiving.
Well, when this is put, magically all of the information mm-hmm. will be correct written underneath.
Absolutely.
So yeah, people will have to, as you're hearing us talk about this, learn to read the information. Come and see Booty Candy.
Please
here in the Center of the Theater. That's where we'll find Blue and Phoebe. We don't want to find you anywhere.
But if you want to,
no, you're gonna show up at my house again, and I don't want you there.
Well,
and
I mean, you can't stop that anyway. So
no,
Wreckers is my band.
Phoebe, you need to let it go. Thank you very much, everybody. This has been Panic at Chat. I've been Oliver Graves.
I'm Phoebe Hastings.
Phoebe, stop it.